Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, God bless you, family out there, Blood River Radio family. We say we don't have listeners, we have family and supporters. And we hope that all listeners that don't support, we hope they start to support us. If nothing else, just send us a note of encouragement once in a while, because I know a lot of people are probably like me. I live off of positive feedback. But anyway, people, you listen to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. It is April the 2nd, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2022, the second hour. And we've just picked up our brother, Gene, the Bitter Ender Andrews. Yes, sir. He still got his sword, man. And he's sharpened it. He spends half his time sharpening that darn sword. And he has to resharpen it because these battles are hard on them swords, man. And he's a really tough swordsman, man, in the best traditions of General Nathan Bedford Forrest. And we also have our other brother, Rand Owens. I started calling him the old Alabama coon hunter, but that guy's killed a big old deer. He sent me the picture of the big old deer. He killed a 22-pound wild turkey, I guess today. That is, people, that's a hoss of a wild turkey. It's not one of these big old fat tame turkeys. A 22-pound wild turkey is a stud hoss. But anyway, people, we're transitioning to the second hour. I hope you like that first hour with Dr. Michael Hill. He always gets me fired up, always gets chill bumps going up when Dr. Hill comes on. But anyway, we got Gene on, and we got Rand. I guess we start off with Gene. Gene, say hello to all your fans out there, and you got a bunch of them, buddy.
Well, all two of them. Yes, glad to see those two that are awake this afternoon. And the only reason they're my fans, I owe them $20 a piece, and they're trying to find out when they're going to get paid. So,
I'll tell you what, you got more fans than I got. That's for doggone sure. EP, and we also, like we said, we've got old Rand. Rand, tell them a little bit about that turkey that you killed before we get into the really heavy stuff.
Hey, Gene and Eddie and all the listeners out there. I just had a blessed morning. The Lord blessed me with a good morning this morning. And the turkey was ready, and I got blessed, and it was a good morning. It's a good turkey. Had 11-inch beard. Had an inch and a quarter spurs, and he weighed 22 pounds. That's pretty big for a turkey. Average bird down here in central South Alabama is about 18 pounds. We got some good turkeys, but this was a real good turkey. So it was a good morning. I appreciate you mentioning that, Eddie. That's fun stuff.
Well, I was just welcome. I was just thank you very welcome. I was just thinking he got a pretty good beard, but it's not as long as yours. Man, old Rand's got a beard, buddy. Not. He looks.
Mine's been going longer than he lives, you know. He's probably like a 3.5-year-old turkey. My beard's going for much, much longer than that.
Before we get into the hot stuff, I saw the picture of your shotgun. It was a pump. Was that a Mossberg pump?
It is a Mossberg 3.5-inch, and I should have had my shell laying down there, but I shoot when I can get them, a heavy shot shell that's a mixed load, and it's pretty powerful.
Oh, you shoot the mixed load.
For a big
I
bird
have
like
one.
That, you got to have something powerful, especially if you shoot him out there, you know, 40 yards, 45 yards, something like that. You got to have something that'll reach on out there. Now, he wasn't that far. He was about 32 steps, I think he was.
That's not real close, because you only got a small area, that turkey, that neck and that head. That's a small area, because like the other game, you know, you don't shoot them in the heart, lungs, liver like you do a deer, folks. But that's a really nice shotgun. Right. I have a shotgun like that right by my bedside, and I have the old John Browning's Best 45 ACP under my pillow. So I'm ready to rock and roll. Go ahead, Rand.
I was just going to say, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Eddie, but I was just going to say, another quick story is about this turkey. I had got in a turkey rodeo last weekend, and I missed a turkey. I shot up and to the right. He was going down a grade. What I'm trying to say is the only thing could have been better if I would have had this turkey last Saturday to enter into the rodeo.
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe you'll get him next year, fella. Well, anyway, folks, we've been turkey hunting. That's just part of us. We're a family here. We're like brothers, and we like to, at least I like to share our everyday life of what we do, you know, and everybody and his mama also, speaking of everyday life and what people do, everybody and his mama knows all about Gene and how dedicated he is to the Forest Home. So he had been on, I think, was it last time he was on? Anyway, give us a little update on what you've been doing, Gene, with the Forest Home. And I think there's a big, some kind of a big seminar, a Civil War reenactment thing. We talk a little bit about that. Refresh the people's memory on that, Gene.
Okay, the big event that we have there every year that's open to the public is our Forest Homecoming and Southern Heritage Festival. And that's always the third Saturday in June, which will be the 18th of June this year. And we will have reenactors out there firing cannons and cavalry and infantry. We always have musical entertainment and historical speakers. We have usually one or two authors every year that have their books there and that they will be glad to sign for you. And we have quite a few vendors that set up with all sorts of homemade items and flags and a lot of different things there. And then it's a Southern event, so we had a lot of food to eat and cold drinks. So it goes from about 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. So that's our big event that we have every year. To get people to come out and see the Forest Home. It's right there in Chapel Hill or just outside of Chapel Hill, Tennessee. And if you're traveling, it's at exit 46 off of I-65 coming out of Nashville, or 46 exit 46 if you're coming up out of Alabama there. So we have a lot of fun, and I see a lot of the same people every year, so it's kind of like a big family reunion. So we hope everybody will come out and enjoy themselves. There are plenty of shade trees. It's always hot in June, but we got plenty of shade trees around there, so you're not out in a big field right out in the broiling sun to get fried out there. I was interested in listening to Rand's story about the turkeys. We used to have a lot of turkeys that running back and forth across the road there at the Forest Home, and haven't seen any in a while, or haven't seen very many. And I've been asking people, and they said that they think that armadillos are eating the eggs. And that's really cut down on the turkey population, at least there in Middle Tennessee.
No
now,
kidding.
It sounds like they're doing better in Alabama than we are. But sorry to have those worthless things that came up out of the Southwest. So they should have stopped them at the border with a lot of these illegals coming across the border.
Yeah, that's true, Eddie. And what you said, Gene, and what you said is true. The turkey population is down. I mean, and you're right, armadillos. Down here, coons and armadillos, coyotes. We have coyotes now. You got crows that attack the nest. And see, you don't have people that trap. You don't have the coon hunters that used to coon hunt as much now. So they got a lot going against them out there. See, we have a five-bird limit down here. And I would advocate for a two-bird limit. I would even go as far as closing it for a couple of seasons. I mean, people. Yeah. And another thing, when I was a kid coming up in my whole county, there was probably a half a dozen coon turkey hunters. Now everybody wants to turkey hunt, you know. So they got a lot against them, man. That's why you're not seeing them.
Oh, okay. I didn't know all the other things too. I knew about the armadillos, and I see them when I work out there in the forest. Some of those worthless rodents dig holes in the yard, and they're out there at night digging it all up. You know, I need to put up a sign that says, "Golfers, please replace your divots," but I don't think the armadillos could do that. But,
and they are worse. You're right about that. At least you could survive off a coon. I don't know about surviving off armadillo.
No, I've heard you get leprosy from them. They carry that. A lot of them do that. And I was raising Cain about it. My brother lives out in Texas. And he always gives me a hard time about any subject that comes up, and kind of like Eddie does, you know, that sort of thing. And so he was telling me, he said, "Well, you just don't understand the culture of the Southwest, Gene. He says you have to be better informed. He said the armadillo is the state bird of Texas, and you don't know that. So he's always giving me a hard time about that. So anyway, well, where are we going to go with tonight, Eddie? Where are we going?
Well, I was going to mention the star off the bat. Rand's been working on some stuff, but before we go to the, we're almost out of a break, almost ready for a break. But you know, I was telling the audience that I'll tell them I talked to Mrs. Lee McMichael before the show and asked her if there was any updates. She said that that their Give, Send, Go website is still up. They've had a little trouble with that. Matter of fact, a lady that I know, Gene knows her, if he was to see her in person, she said that, can't use her name, of course, but she said she'd had a little trouble trying to donate to the site. But people, the Give, Send, Go is up for the McMichaels. And she told me a story, y'all, if I can get out before we go to the break. She said that, excuse me, Mr. Greg McMichael was a 30-year career officer, like we know, we talked about that on the show. And he was really good friends with the sheriff down there. And he would have gone in if the sheriff could have called their home and said, hey, Greg, you know, we have an arrest warrant out for you and Travis. If you want, y'all just come on in and see if we can get this thing straightened out. They would have gone in with no problem, peaceably. But she said they had 20 or 30 state. Well, I hear the music. When we come back, y'all, I'll finish telling you a little story about how dirty that the feds did and the sheriff the cops did down there in Georgia when they arrested McMichaels, plus a few other things. Then we'll go to Rand on what he's been working on. Be right back, folks. Hang on.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles and the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
A Bienus is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Hey, welcome everybody, all you Blood River Radio family out there. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for your support. We just couldn't live without it. And, you know, I had some pretty read two pretty emotional cards here before we came on. And this I'm going to mention this one to Gene because Gene wasn't on the first hour. I got a birthday card, Gene, from old Biscuit down there in Florida. And Scott, he sent me this special birthday card. I know you'd love it because he's a big Confederate guy like you and like us. It's got like 6 and 6, 12, 50. Looks like it's got 18 photographs. I guess these are Confederate officers. I guess, you know, maybe colonels, brigadier generals. But I didn't know there were that many high you know, in the officer corps in the Confederacy, because I know their army was that big. But he sent that card. I wish I'll see if I can take a photograph of it and send it to you, Jings. I know you love stuff like that. But anyway, people, you're listening to Blood River Radio. Just in case you just tuned in, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and we're in the second segment of the second hour of Blood River Radio. And before we go back to Rand and Gene, they're carrying the show tonight, pretty much. I'd like to tell you that earlier on, before we started the show tonight, I was able to talk to Miss Leah McMichael, and she told me a little tale. She said that their website is up, that, you know, it's been having a little bit of problems with it, but it's up pretty good. That gives and go. That's up. It's working pretty good. They said the donations, she's had some pretty nice donations. And I was really proud when she said several of the donations come in. They specifically mentioned the fact that they've heard about their travesty down there on Blood River Radio's radio station. But she said that I also have an announcement that Rich Hamlin sent in tonight. I don't want to forget that before I go back to the guys. But anyway, she said that, here's a little tale I want y'all to know. She said that when Travis and Greg got arrested, that they were really, both of their guys were really good friends with the sheriff of that county. After all, Greg had been a 30-year police veteran. He was highly respected, very respected guy in that county. And if the sheriff could have just called him and said, hey, Greg, we have an arrest warrant has just been issued for you and Travis. Y'all need to come in. We tend to talk about this and get this straight. They would have come in. But no, they said that they had like GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation, the feds, cops of every kind, 20 or 30 of them in her yard. And some of them looked like these RoboCops, like me and Gene said, like they had up in Charlottesville. And she said that, they, you know, full automatic weapons, just the whole 9 yards. And they had the news people on site. And they tried to intimidate the McMichaels and humiliate them just as much as possible to send the message out there. They treated them like they're the lowest scum of the earth. Like Rand said, like drug trafficking blacks. You know, that's just pitiful the way they did that. And I'm going to make an announcement on the air. Cameron, we have Rich said that we may have dead air going out. I don't know if we have trouble getting out. Rich said that that we've got dead air. He's not hearing anything. So you might want to check into that, Cameron, if you figure out if it's on our end or if it's on Rich's end. I know they have trouble with the phones up there. But I hope we're going out to most of our people. But anyway, I have one more announcement that Rich just sent in before he went dead. He said that, let me see it. I see that. He says to tell the audience that Ursula Haverback has been jailed again in Germany for Holocaust denial. And guys, Gene probably knows more about it than the rest of us do. I think that lady, isn't she in her 90s now? She's a dear lady. She's at least 90. I mean, my God. Take off on that, if you would, Gene, on Ursula Haverback. I think you know more about her than I do.
Well, just questioning it, the numbers. It's the thing that's so irritating about this. They arrest people not because they're slamming the Jews or saying we ought to kill off the Jews or we ought to deport the Jews out of the country, anything like that, nothing like that. It's just the facts about the Holocaust do not add up. And when you mention that and say this is wrong and this is not correct because of, here's fact number one, number two, number three, number four, number, and all down through fact number 98, then they arrest you and throw all kind of charges against you because you don't believe the politically correct lie and you don't repeat the politically correct lie. And you have to say, no, that's incorrect. And here's the facts of what actually happened and the numbers involved in this. And this 6 million number just keeps popping up all the time. And the Jews have used it since way back in the 1840s. In the 1840s, they said that Russian Jews were being discriminated against. 6 million Russian Jews were being discriminated against. Then in World War I, another 6 million were being persecuted by the Turks during World War I. And then this 6 million number didn't come up until the late 60s or the early 1970s. After World War II,
The Red Cross said there were probably around 271,000 people that died in German work camps. The Red Cross didn't say anything about any number close to 6 million. That was just a manufactured number that they used to gouge money out of Germany for reparations and gouge money out of these other countries to build these Holocaust museums and memorials. And the people like Ursula, they point out that these so-called survivors can't get their story straight. And the thing that has always gotten me about this, if you have to arrest people for telling the truth or at least offering another opinion based on facts than what the politically correct establishment says, then you know the politically correct establishment is covering up a lie. If you have to arrest people for questioning that information, it's like, but they always say, well, everybody knows that this happened. Everybody knows. Well, at one time, everybody knew that the earth was flat and the earth was the center of the universe. And people were actually put to death as heretics because they disagreed with the earth being round and revolving around the sun. So everybody knew that the earth was flat back at one time or another. So this everybody knows is not a very good argument. And then they always said, well, women were put to death in Europe because everybody knew they were witches. And so witches were put to death, and they were in Salem, Massachusetts. They were hung. Everybody knew they were witches. Well, we don't have any witches today. Well, no, I take that back. There's Nancy Pelosi, and there's Kamala Harris, and Maxine Waters. Okay, all right. That was a bad analogy. We do still have witches today. Okay, I should have gotten a better analogy. But the thing of arresting people for questioning fraudulent information, that proves that that government is based on lies, whether it's Germany, Austria, France, whatever country it is. And even here in the United States, where they'll shut you down, take you off the internet, jeopardize your job, your family, your security, or be openly attacked, physically attacked, like they did to Ernst Sundell. That proves it's a lie right there. So anyway, that's my two cents worth on that subject. So it's very irritating.
To back up what you said, Rich said, first of all, that Ursula Haverback, she's 93 years old. She's already served two sentences for the same thing, for Holocaust denial. And he also says, Rich and you are kind of like the knowledge gatekeepers for knowledge on this show. But he said that that accepting let me see if I can put up that thing he said. He says that, Germany was forced to accept the Nuremberg narrative as a condition for the peace treaty in 1955. Can you believe that? I mean, that's just incomprehensible. They're forced to accept that stinking Nuremberg narrative for the peace treaty in 1955. So in other words, they knew it was a lie. And like Rich said, like you said, anytime you have to make a law, you know, you create a law to force somebody to. It said when history has to be enforced by law, something is up. Something smells rotten in Denmark. That's for absolutely right. Rand, what do you have to say about that, brother? I know you got plenty. Rand, are you muted, son?
I said I agree with that 100%. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I was following that Ursula Haverback for quite some time. I didn't remember all the details. I'll tell you somebody who knows a lot about her too, is Monica Schaefer. She has kept up with that story. And matter of fact, I think I saw something to come across my. I didn't have much time to check in my emails today, but I believe they were talking back and forth about that. And somebody else died today. I can't remember who it was. He was huge in our movement. But anyway, Rand, do you have anything else to add to that, what we just talked about? Rand, hold that thought, brother. Hear the music coming up. We've got to go to a break. People, hang on to your seat. We've got to go to our next break, and we'll be right back to you, Blood River Radio, as soon as we come back to this break.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
The UN's former chief prosecutor for war crimes has called Russian President Vladimir Putin a war criminal. Carla Del Ponte is talking to the media in her native Switzerland, marking the release of her latest book. She has called for an international arrest warrant to be issued for Putin, adding there were clear war crimes being committed in the country. The Kremlin invaded Ukraine nearly 2 months ago. Del Ponte says suspected war crimes committed by both countries should be investigated. Meantime, the U.S. Treasury is arguing despite that the Russian ruble is returning to its pre-invasion rate on international exchanges, sanctions are weakening the Russian currency. A senior Treasury official said weekly inflation in Russia is the direct effect of sanctions from the U.S. and allies. Wall Street remains in the red for this year to date. The Dow down 4%, the Nasdaq off nearly 9%. This is USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes or overweight or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
E-commerce giant Amazon says it's disappointed with the outcome of a union vote that took place at one of their Staten Island facilities. In a statement, the company said they are evaluating its options, including filing objections based on what it calls the inappropriate and undue influence of the National Labor Relations Board. Meantime, members of the Amazon labor union are celebrating their victory. Chris Smalls, a fired Amazon employee who helped organize the union, told WCBS-TV that the victory is a revolution for a better quality of life.
We're fighting for $30 an hour. We're fighting for longer breaks. We're fighting to be shareholders again in the company. We're fighting for job security.
The stage is getting set for the Grammys this weekend. The show will relocate to Las Vegas for the first time ever this year. It was postponed earlier this year and moved from Los Angeles due to rising COVID cases in California, driven by the Omicron variant. This year's ceremony will be hosted by comedian Trevor Noah of The Daily Show. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. Me and Gene and Cam and everything, we've been talking about different stuff, but we've been having a little bit of really strange stuff going on with our broadcast tonight. It's not on our end that we can figure out. It's really kind of an eerie sound we've been picking up. I hope we're getting out good. I know Rich said we have a few people that send in us, they send us messages when our transmission is not up to par. Rich said that he's coming out pretty good. He said also we have another guy. Everybody and his mama knows Matt Goodwin. He said he was having trouble too on his, where he's living. It's back good now. So we have no idea what happened. Our webmaster said that no matter what you do, he said you can do everything perfectly. When you get this high tech and these electronics are so complicated, especially to me. You never know. Sometimes it's just impossible to pin down. But I hope we're going out good. Before we go back to the guys, on the first hour of me and Dr. Hill were talked about, I'd like to go back to a few things we alluded to. Dr. Hill said that in the future, in the not-too-distant future, when white people become a minority, now I'm kind of thinking we're probably a minority now. And that leads to another little rabbit trail. I hope I don't forget what I was going to tell you about, because I was at the park yesterday doing my 23 miles, my last run, and I had to go in and get some water, and there was these people there. They were definitely not Aryan. They were definitely not Southerners, and I spoke to this man, and I guess this is his wife, and the woman said, all I could understand, she said, she could not understand me. She doesn't speak this language. And I said, well, that's just fine. What in the hell are you doing in this country if you can't speak the language? And I asked her flat out, are you here because of the great welfare system we have? Did you come here to lay in the hammock to collect the welfare that me and my wife and my daughters and Jean and Rand and all of the rest of us people work and slave and pay into the welfare pot so you can live high on the hog? Of course, I'm sure they probably didn't understand all of it, but I think she understood more than she had it let on like. And the husband had kind of a frown on his face, if he was the husband. And the reason I think she could understand more than she was let on like, she said, well, she was here because she had family members here. So she had to hear something. But you know what, Gene? And I know this is rabbit trail. I'll get off this quick. I've been using this same park for years. It's called Shelby Farms Park. It's the largest urban park in the United States. Is much bigger than Central Park. I'm kind of tired of running there because it gets so monotonous running the same old trails and stuff. But I've seen just in the past couple of years, we used to be just overrun with Mexicans. And you never see one or two Mexicans. They come in troops like apes, and they all have these stepping stone kids. They're outbreeding us like crazy. But now the Mexicans, they seem to be like they're being pushed out by we have Indians coming out of the woodwork. And we also have these Arabs. I'll get off this in just a second because I know our people might not want to hear this, but it really irks me. They've taken over our park, the largest park, urban park in the United States. And it's great. They have, you know, they have good trails, water fountains, but it's getting almost not fearful for me, but I know a lot of people, they won't admit it. They don't like to go there because it's overrun. And you see these women, Gene and Rand, they look like they're coming back fearing Jesus today because they don't just have burkas. They have these heavy, thick, I don't care how hot it is. They have these heavy, thick, I don't know if you call it a dress or what it is, and it covers them from their head all the way down to their feet. And it looks like it's made out of these old army wool army blankets, and they can speak English, but they all drive these really nice cars, and they won't move out of the way. They all have troops and troops of kids. They've just completely taken over the infrastructure in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's getting like that everywhere. Anything free, you find a bench, anything that can be sat down on, they lay out on it, especially the blacks. They have a lot of blacks there too. They lay out on these benches like they're hammocks. They won't move out of the way when you're trying to run. It's just getting pitiful. And white people have paid to have these parks put up like that. But I kind of got off on a rabbit trail. But that does have an effect on that. Believe it or not, that does play directly into Blood River Radio because our show, we have said, that our flagship purpose is to fight against global white genocide. And if that ain't genocide, flooding this country with just countless thousands and thousands of these black and dusky brown non-white people that can't speak English, they don't want to speak English, they don't worship the same God we worship, that is flat out white genocide through just overpopulation. And I'm going to say one more thing before I don't want to hog the show. I'm going back to what I originally started before I got off on that rabbit trail. It kind of pissed me off when I think about that, what I was just telling you people about. Me and Dr. Hill were talking about, he said, in the future when a white man cannot get justice, cannot get law and order anywhere in any courtroom. Well, that's here now, folks, because we know the last show we did, y'all, about the McMichaels, we've talked about them for a while, several weeks now, and you need to keep those people in your prayers. If you get a little... I know we can't donate to every single thing, but keep in mind that could be one of us. That could be one of your kin folks in jail like that. But they got no, speaking of losing our rights in court, losing our equal protection under the law, they were slaughtered in that courtroom. I mean, they were able to absolutely a kangaroo court from the get-go. And I'm going to say one more thing about that, and I'm going to shut up. Right off the bat, that stinking judge, that stinking communist piece of garbage, he had a minute silent. The first day when I started the court, the trial, he had a minute. He said, we're going to have a minute's silence in honor of this poor man. He was a young dreamer, y'all, and his dreams were cut short by a murder. I mean, you tell me if that guy should have been disbarred and dragged, he should have been drugged behind a damn pickup truck. Anyway, go back to you, Ryan, because I think you were working on something today. Before I get off on these damn rabbit trails, and I I forgot what the hell I was going to tell everybody in the first place, but go ahead, Red.
But you're right, Eddie. Our higher institutions have been taken over by strangers. And when I say strangers, I'm talking about people that aren't like us, that aren't ruddy in the face, aren't white, they aren't freckled or whatever. They're brown and black. And I don't know if any of y'all heard about it, the whole debacle down in Panama City Beach during the spring break where the Negroes took over the Walmart parking lot. So they had to bring in the SWAT teams. Have y'all heard anything about that?
I've heard something about it. Well, go ahead, Gene.
Well, no. What happened down there?
Oh, well, they took over. I mean, it was just mobs of them, and they were walking down the street. They had to, like I said, they had to call in the SWAT teams and to get everything to brought back to order. But my point is, everything is of a lack of a better way to put it for an old country boy. We have just allowed everything to get so niggered up. Our higher institutions, our sports events. I mean, look at what they're like now. Even like small private schools that sprung up in the late 60s in Alabama, mid 60s or whatever, where the these men, these white men and their families, they sacrificed, they spent their hard-earned money to build these schools. And even now, like one that I went to in Crenshaw County called Crenshaw Christian Academy, now they allow blacks in just to beef up the football team. And they don't realize what they're doing. They're just letting this mass that has spread so much over our society, they just allowing it to totally take over. And we do, like I always enjoy hearing our fearless leader of the League of the South, Dr. Hill. He's so motivational, and he just he's so inspiring to hear him talk about the things that's going on in our country. And that the end of that first hour, Eddie, that was just great. And there are haters out there, and we got to recognize who they are. These and I just, if I could take a few minutes, I know we a couple of weeks ago we had a question, you know, the word Kenite Jew come up, and I know we had a question about it. But I just want to say that these are imposters. And, you know, we were talking about using the word Jew. The word Jew is a slang word. It can mean a person of Judea, which there was a patriarch, Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Judea. And they are these imposters that came to live there with them, that also are called Jews. You can read about them in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. I hear the music.
Yeah, we got to go to the music. I appreciate you saying that. When we come back, I got to read this thing. It's really emotional that Rich sent in, and it won't take but a minute to read that. And I'll be right back, people. So hold on to your hat. I can't believe this is going to be the last segment. I'll be right back, folks.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio people, we're back. We have a caller. I'm going to go over our caller as soon as I read this little thing from Rich. I think this is really poignant, what he sent in. He sent some information about Ursula Haverback. She is 93 years old, and she was sentenced to 12 months more in prison. She's already done two sentences because the judge said she showed no remorse. I guess she should apologize for saying that because she won't admit a lie. But here's what Rich says. He sent this. He sent a list of Holocaust-related convictions, but I couldn't pull them down. But anyway, he also says this. This is the emotional part. Then we go to Miss Barbie. He says, obviously, this list is not complete, but a mere glimpse at all the many different people that have been really persecuted for speaking the truth. Just like Miss Ursula Haverback was persecuted for speaking the damn truth, y'all. For just asking questions. And persecuted for thought crimes. He says, when do we, and this is a damn good question, Rich. Everybody should ask themselves. Every white person, especially every white Christian, when do we as a people collectively decide? I'm asking our audience that, and our people, our Blood River Radio family, when do we as a people collectively decide that enough is enough? When do we take a stand? When do we fight back? The time is long overdue. People, stop being timid. Stop being afraid to name the enemy. We all know who the enemy is. The enemy is the eternal Jew that's been here since time began. I don't want to take up too much time. Anyway, how are you doing tonight, Miss Barbie?
Really good. I was interested in your subjects. And what I'm going to say is probably one of the most heartbreaking things that I've ever, and I've been doing this for 20 years, but it starts with Jewish communist controlled Germany. This is what's going on. Arrested our friend Ursula Haverback. I've been following her and included her in my book Under White Persecuted Martyrs. I look at World War II from a woman's point of view, which is necessary. If those German women had guns, they could have stopped that Jewish-led intentional rape on their sacred wombs. You know what I mean? Anyway, now listen to this. This really happened. You won't find this on the internet. I talked with a customer service agent to help me remotely work with my Apple computer. I asked her about her accent, and she said, I'm from Germany. And I said, oh, I studied German history, and you have a wonderful and a brave history. And then she solemnly confided in me that she had gone back to Germany recently for a funeral. She said the young people are having DNAs done for racial heritage. Now, listen to this carefully, audience. The agent said, and I'll quote, there are no more Germans left. It's over. The race is gone. And she said that the DNA samples that the young people are taking show part German, but all of them have half Jewish or half Muslim. And she said, furthermore, that the government burned all the documents for the pedigree German people. No one knows. There's no German people anymore, according to that woman. I like your comments.
That's I've talked to you about that about a week ago, and that's the most discouraging, most heartbreaking thing I could ever hear. I'll make this short, and we'll go to Gene.
Go ahead.
Like everybody and his mama knows, you know, I run marathons. I did my last long run yesterday, and as I was running through the park, one of the bright spots I saw, there was a company setting up to do they're doing a 20-mile hike today. One of the women was from Germany. She was beautiful. She gave me a banana, her and her, I guess her husband or significant other, whoever she was, because I was like at mile 20. Again, I was really dragging. And she was what you would think the prototype Aryan German. She was tall, extremely athletic. She'd run marathons. She does CrossFit and stuff like that. Her husband's a weightlifter. I guess that was her husband. And she was a blue-eyed blonde. She looked like a straight-up Aryan. I'm going to shut up with that. What do you think about that, Gene?
Well, it's not just happening in Germany. They are trying to wipe out Southerners as a race of people. They even have these classes or seminars or counseling people in the South that advertise, get the South out of your mouth. And they are destroying our monuments. They've destroyed most of our culture. They're bringing in these people from foreign countries to overrun us through Mexico. Like Sleepy Joe has got these midnight flights that are taking these people from the Texas border into all of our states to try to overload them with all of these illegals and turn all of these red states into blue states. And, you know, it's not just Germany, and Barbie's right that they're doing that over there, but you don't have to go to Europe to find that going on. It's going on right here because they want to just outbreed us and get rid of us and wipe us out, because they know as long as we have pride in our Southern heritage and the people that stood up and defended the South when it was invaded in 1861, those are going to be hard people to convince they need to vote and bring in this socialist empire that they're trying to force on us and this communist empire. So this is the last holdout, the Bible Belt or the conservative area of the country down here in the Southeast, and we have to be exterminated. And our own people are doing it to us. And you were talking about these athletic departments at these Southern schools, colleges, and even private schools. They'll sell their soul and give their daughter over to the black athletes on the team if they can get a winning record or go to a bowl game. That's the most important thing. And they don't look, you know, 50 years down the road and see what they're doing. They want a winning team so they can brag that their school beat State U last year and won the state championship or whatever, got to a bigger bowl game than the other college in the state did. So we're killing ourselves. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. You're talking about having the white people stand up. They won't stand up. Not only are they won't stand up, they're helping the enemy.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Thank you so much, Barb, for calling. That's
so could I ask comments. Gene one question? Could I ask
Gene
a question?
By the way.
You were talking about smashing the statues. I actually went to Washington, D.C., went to my senator over there, Blunt, you know, and I asked to bring that Confederate statue in right in my town here. They got a Confederate, it's Confederate and Union, and then they have a Confederate soldier there. That was in January of 17. And then by August, there was this big ruckus. It was like it was almost planned against you. But I want to tell you one more thing about the smashed statues. I was reading a book on Poland. 92% of the Jews come from Poland. Before World War I, they already knew they were going to leave out of Poland and come to the United States and Palestine. And you know what they did? They smashed all the Polish leaders' statues before they left. How do you like that? And this has been going on for 1,000 years. What do you think of that, Gene?
Well, that's exactly what they do. They destroy a country from the inside. And they destroy our history and our heritage and tell us it was all bad. These were evil people. You know, they were all slave owners. They sat on the front porch and sipped mint and juleps and with one hand and beat the darkies with the other hand. And come up with these preposterous stories and convince our people that if they keep hearing it over and over and over again, that everything we had in the past was bad, but the future will be utopia when we embrace socialism and communism. That's all we have to do is throw away everything in the past and embrace all this new garbage and baloney and we'll live wonderful lives. That's it. And people are falling for it.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara. We got to go. We've only got a few minutes left. There's a few things we want to cover. Thank you so much. You call in anytime you want to, Miss Barbie.
And
you know, Gene, and you brought up something. Dr. Hill, the last time he was on, you mentioned how they're trying to get, they have these advertisements, get the South out of your mouth or whatever, something like that. Dr. Hill says he believes that the last battle, whether or not that we will continue to have a white civilization left, a white Christian civilization, he thinks the last battle will be decided in the southeastern United States in the former Confederacy. What do you think about that, Rand?
Well, I think he's right, and I think everything that we talked about here tonight is obvious. You look around, you look at the commercials, they're pushing the masculine white male out. I mean, they promote homosexuality, they promote mixing, they promote anything other than actually what our Bible teaches us, if you want to go that far in depth with it. But we're up against it, and I don't know why. Well, I do know why. The Bible talks about it, but people just can't see it. But the Bible says that everybody won't have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that's definitely rings true. But there's so much been said on this show tonight that needs to ring from the mountaintops. It should be repeated, like you and Dr. Hill talked about earlier. You just can't do it just by a keyboard. You got to get out. You got to share it with your friends. And you're going to lose friends, especially when you start talking about the Kenite Jews. That's where you're going to lose people if you're not real easy about doing it. And I'm not talking about being easy and not using the word Jew. I'm just talking about being educational about it and know what you're talking about. Because this has been going on, fellas, from the beginning of time. The devil spread these seeds. The parable of the sower in Matthew 13, you can just go through Matthew chapter 13, 10, 24, just go through it. The parable of the sower is the parable that Jesus Christ himself explained more than any parable. And he even said, if you don't understand that parable, you're not going to understand any of the parables. But there is a evil element out there. He is an imposter. He is the seed that Satan sowed and just references, scripture references. Of course, John 8:44, that's mentioned all the time on this show. But also 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. And just go to Genesis chapter 3. And, you know, Satan has, the devil has many names, many, many names. And if you want to reference these names, go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. And it'll give you all the names that he's called. And he's called a lot of names. But see, he is
the seed. Well, you know, Ram, we're just about out of time, brother. Just about out of time. Maybe have a minute with that last minute. I'm going to ask Gene. Everything you said is right. They're trying to outbreed us left and right. Gene, are we going to survive as a race, in your opinion? And how much longer do you think it's going to be before we have that final battle that Dr. Hill referenced in this show the last time he was on? What do you think, brother? What's your opinion?
They will always be a remnant. A remnant. They will always be a remnant.
Well, folks, we are totally out of time. I'm going to thank you so much tonight, Rand and Gene, Cameron, and I'd like to thank Dr. Hill when he was on. Thank our Blood River Radio family. I hope we've done you service tonight. I think we gave you solutions tonight, especially on the first hour. Thank you so much, Miss Barbie, for calling in. I didn't mean to rush you off, but there were some things we needed to get out. Thank you, one and all. Please, people, pray for yourself, pray for your country, and please pray for Blood River Radio so we can keep fighting and pray that we will defeat the devil and survive as a remnant. I hope Rand is right. Sometimes I wonder if we're ever going to have continue to have a remnant. Well, good night, y'all. Good night, everybody. Good night, Rand and Gene and Cameron. See y'all.